Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Brewers Outlet Friday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory, a great service department and sales staff, and home of the repeat customer. Whether it's buying a pre-owned or new car, or you're getting your actual car serviced. And that's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And of course, every Friday show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast those peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Don't forget the six great flavors of slushies, which maybe you might want to have Sunday. 68 degrees according to AccuWeather for our high. A little rain in the morning, but then it's going to be partly sunny skies. Yeah, you may want to invest in some of those six flavors of ice-cold slushies. But either way, you want to stock up for the weekend, especially for 60-degree weather on Sunday. We haven't seen that in a while. Plus, of course, plenty of college hoops. Poor seating up. Coach K's final game at Duke is tomorrow night. Want to get ready for that. Start of the Big Ten tournament starts next week. Just get stocked up for this weekend and the whole week. And all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. So a tough one for the Nittany Lions last night at Illinois. And again, it was a good back-and-forth game, fun game to watch. But, yeah, again, it's one of those games where you see the stats of the weird that has kind of plagued Penn State a little bit this year and where they haven't really been able to get some things to fall their way. Once again, you have the free throw thing an issue. 1 for 3 last night, just 3 attempts to, I think it was 13 for Illinois. So overall, it was low. But still, Penn State only getting a handful for the entire game. We've talked about that at times this year. And you look at made field goals, Penn State 22, Illinois 18. Illinois had two more three-pointers than Penn State at 9-7. And it was also a game where Penn State was much better offensively in the first half. Normally, they've been around the mid to late 20s on average lately. But you get above 30. Of course, Illinois struggled a little bit in that first half, too. So you're right in it. And then, of course, there comes the big drought that has also plagued Penn State all year. But both teams couldn't get a bucket in the final 6 minutes combined, most of that to Penn State, Illinois in the final 5.5 minutes until they finally took the lead late. But again, it's those times where someone's got to find a way to make a shot late in the game like that, and it still is just not happening. So when it comes to the effort and overall play, obviously you figured it would be much better, and it was much better than that just embarrassment of a game last Sunday against Nebraska at home. And you're playing, of course, a tough Illinois team with still plenty to play on their end, still trying to get the Big Ten title. battling that with Wisconsin. So a tough one there for Penn State. One more in the regular season at Rutgers on Sunday, which we'll have here on WKOK. Noon tip, 11:30 pregame with Steve and DJ. And then the Big Ten tourney gets going next week in Indianapolis. So overall, we got another big weekend coming up in Penn State sports, and we're going to talk about that today. Besides basketball, Big Ten Wrestling Championships this weekend in Lincoln. Jeff Byers, the radio voice himself, will join us. Another big weekend for men's ice hockey. Brian Tripp going to join us as well. We might get into some football and other topics with him too. So we've got ourselves a big weekend, not only just in college hoops, but we got a big one for Penn State as well. And the women's team, too, I believe, also gearing up for the Big Ten tourney as well. Also locally on the college end of things from last night, tough end to the year for the Bucknell men's basketball team, losing a tough one at Colgate last night. Game of the second half went about as expected, but they hung in there, the Bison did, through a good portion of the first half. Then Colgate went on a little bit of a run, got up by 13 at the half, but you still felt like that wasn't impossible for Bucknell. But then the second half, Colgate just showed why they are steps above everybody else in the Patriot League right now. I think that there is no reason why anybody gets close to Colgate the rest of the way. Maybe Navy, who's got Boston U coming up. We're actually going to pick that game with the King a little bit later on when he joins us at the end of the show. Maybe a team like Lehigh. I've liked what they've done this year. That's another good shooting team. A lot of depth. But Colgate is a class in itself right now in the Patriot League. And I think this team, I thought they could have won a game last year, and they got off to a good start last year. What was it, against Tennessee, if I remember correctly? They had a good start, but then they lost it a little in the second half and lost. I think this team can win not one, but maybe two games in the tournament this year. I mean, that team is just loaded. So, yeah, so watch out for the Colgate Raiders as one of your quote-unquote maybe Cinderella runs for March Madness in a couple weeks, which we are a week from this Sunday is Selection Sunday already. And then finally from the NFL Combine yesterday, of course, we spent a lot of time talking about the hand size of Kenny Pickett at Pitt, but Juan Jahad Dotson had a good day at the pro day, at the scouting combine yesterday. Ran a 4.43 in the 40. No surprise there. That's about what I thought he would run. So a good day for the now former Penn Stater as well as he goes through in the NFL draft process. So lots to get to today. Steve going to join us in a little bit from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Jeff Byers, Brian Tripp, all coming up today. King coming up as well. Glad to have you with us on a Friday here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory-trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, all together now in Turbotville. Second to none. I heard you. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 at 15 Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Matt, I apologize for all the yelling and screaming at you during the...
Oh, that's all right. That was mostly for me, not from you.
I didn't say a word. I just kind of like, okay. We'll get it worked out.
And we did. Yeah. We're back.
And he told me the suit got involved, and that delayed us getting on further. All right, so... All right. Ryan Tripp, we're going to do a lot of playoff today. Ryan Tripp on the Big Ten Hockey Tournament beginning tonight, Penn State at Ohio State. Brian's going to join us in a few moments from Columbus. Then we're going to go to Lincoln in the next half hour. Jeff Byers at the Big Ten Wrestling Championships. King in the final half hour. So it is a stacked lineup today as we take you from Columbus to Lincoln to then literally parts unknown. One quick note on last night, basketball-wise. Penn State had a real shot last night because, A, they played so hard defensively. And I think by playing and they threw so much into it. They got Kofi Coburn really out of the game. He had 11 points and 6 rebounds. Or rather, for him, pedestrian night is because of how Penn State played it. You have to work hard to dig down on a guy like that. You know, you're trying to cover your guy, then you dig down on him, you try to force him to make a play, and they did over and over again. Because Kofi, look, he is around the basket. He's just a phenomenal mountain of a man. But basketball-wise, he's, you know, when you have 19 assists and 56 turnovers, what does that tell you? This guy is not passing the ball off and out of the post. So they worked so hard last night. They had to make the bet on a couple guys. I mean, you know, Plummer ended up 1 of 5. Hawkins is, yeah, he's okay. He can shoot a 3. Williams is the guy that, you know, you play off of. And you tell me today if you play off him, I play off him. 30% shooting on the season. That's 30% total, and less than that from 3 points. And it turned out he had 14 last night. His only double-figure game of the season. But you were trying to dig down on Kofi, and they expended so much energy doing that. But I think the last 5 minutes of the game, I think it affected their legs. They missed 9 shots in a row when they had a chance to tie the game up or go in front. And they missed 9 shots in a row. Dallion then hit a shot, then they missed the last shot. They were 1 for their last 11. That just killed them. Now, officiating-wise, very quickly, because I know I want to get to Brian here. I've got to go to Columbus for that. Officiating-wise, Paul Sells, Brooks Wells, Keith Kimble. Keith Kimble's a Final Four guy. Immense respect for him. Paul Sells will work deep into the tournament. I have immense respect for him, too. I think Brooks Wells is one of the up-and-coming officials that I've seen in college basketball. So I like all three. And I think, yeah, for the most part, they officiated a really good game. But there's always going to be a couple of instances that happen. You know, there's one. This one I didn't see. Somebody told me about it later. So I didn't see it. That's why I didn't talk about it. There was an air ball from in tight that Jalen Pickett shot up in late in the second half. And according to what somebody told me, he got hit right on the arm. Well, I didn't see it. That's why I made no comment on it on the broadcast. If I don't see it, I'm not going to say it. Okay? But there was one where Seth Lundy drove in and Hawkins was on him. Hit him. As he's going to the lane, hit him three times. And I'm talking, this is in front of me, so I can see it myself plain as day. There's no call. And Dick and I looked at each other, and Dick says, I don't know what it takes to get a call in this game tonight. And then the last one was the held ball at the end. It's obvious that Miles Dredd and Hawkins, it's a held ball, and they called a foul on Miles. And it would have been Penn State's ball. So in the game, Penn State only committed one deliberate foul at the end. One. In the game, Illinois went 15 and 17 at the line. Penn State was 1 of 3 at the line. That was the foul that Pickett in the first half. First half. Like 5-6 minutes of the game, he got fouled at a 3-point shot. He hit 1 out of 3. That was Penn State's only trip to the free throw line last night. Now I know Penn State shoots threes, so that plays into it. Pickett, I think, draws more contact than people realize. But at the same time, Jalen, when he gets in there, will fade a little bit. If you fade a little bit, you're not going to get fouled. But I'm sorry, they got outscored 15-1 at the free throw line. Penn State had 22 baskets in the game. Illinois had 18, but they got outscored 15-1 at the free throw line. Oh, it's just been an ongoing level of frustration. I'm not saying Penn State should have 15 free throws in the game. I am not saying that. But they earned more than one trip to the free throw line in the game. That's all they got was one. The last 34 minutes of the game, they never got to the free throw line. You're telling me Illinois played that clean? Okay. You say so. And again, those are three officials I really respect. And I'm only pointing out three plays, right? Out of all the plays that were last night, you know, and there were, you know, 57 possession game. So you're talking about, you know, 114 up and down, right? I'm picking out three. Now, one I didn't see, though, so I want to be fair. So I'm really specifically looking at two. And one was an example of, you know, Penn State's not getting any calls. All of a sudden, like, right in front of us, bang, 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 and Lundy misses the shot. And Dick and I look at each other like, what the heck? What do you got to do here? Right? Then the dread play with Hawkins in the waning seconds. We're like, I said, hell ball, Penn State gets in the alternate. No, they're calling a foul. We're like, you call a foul on that play? And Miles couldn't believe it. But Illinois won by 5. They're now, 7-4, I think, in games decided by 5 or less. Penn State's now 4-6. Games decided by 5 or less. They're at Rutgers Sunday at noon on at 11:30. All right, let's transition now to playoff hockey in the Big Ten. The Big Ten tournament opens tonight. It's a best-of-3 series at Value City Arena in Columbus. The voice of the Nittany Lions, Brian Tripp, joins us from Columbus. Sir, it's great to have you back with us.
Great to be back with you again, Steve. Thank you so much.
2 out of 3 now with Ohio State, which, of course, is in the catbird seat as a one seed in all this. So let's talk about the matchup, because everything's about matchups. What matchup favors Penn State? What concerns you about the matchup?
Yeah, I think the thing that favors Penn State the most is that Ohio State ended the regular season on a 4-game skid, then had a bye in their final week, so they haven't played in 2 weeks. And Penn State's a team that's been able to get out there in game action, on the ice, fine-tune its experiences that it's put together throughout the year. And I think the thing that was impressive last weekend against Michigan State, they put together some really good stretches in the third period in both the games. Even on Saturday, though they lost 2-1 and couldn't find a way to get the puck in the back of the net, they outshot them 20-2 in the third period and had to come from behind to win. For the first time this year, they came back to win in the third period on Friday. So I think they're a team that has some really good momentum coming into the series. Meanwhile, Ohio State doesn't have that. So I think that, I know it's not an on-ice matchup, but I think that's the one thing that really favors Penn State.
But that does go back to when we talked last week. I said, what kind of momentum weekend can this be for Penn State? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they made it pay off in a lot of ways.
Yeah, even though they didn't get the result on Saturday, I think they finished strong in both games. And when you go into the series with Ohio State, what are some things that they do really well? Well, they're a team that keeps its shifts short, they're well-conditioned, and they get better as the game goes on. Almost 50% of their goals this year come in the third period, and they're outscoring teams by an astronomical number in the third. And when Penn State was here way back in November, those were two games that were decided in the third period that Ohio State took it to Penn State. So it's really nice to see them put together some good third periods against Michigan State. I think they would have liked them stronger off the hop to start the game. But again, if you're looking at the whole picture of areas to improve throughout the season, getting stronger in the third period and as the game's gone on and worn on, that's something they've emphasized, and it's nice to see them do that last weekend against Michigan State.
How well do these two teams match up on special teams?
Yeah, I think actually pretty even if you look at their numbers so far this season. Ohio State has not been really good on the power play. Penn State's power play has struggled this year as well. The thing with Penn State's power play right now is finding that number two guy, because Connor McEachran's been really good. He has six goals. Teams have focused on him. So when he has the puck on that top power play unit, who is he going to distribute the puck to, and who has the confidence to shoot it? I think it could be a great opportunity for a guy like a Ben Schoen or Jimmy Dowd Jr. on that power play unit to show that, hey, we can put the puck in the back of the net, and once they do, then McEachran should have some more seams to shoot through. Connor McMenamin's been really good with a net front presence there. And as you know, Steve, it's not just one unit. Guy wants all three units to give an opponent some trouble. So I think that's something with Penn State's power play to look at. And then the kill, you know, Ohio State, their biggest strength is their goaltender, Jakub Dobesh. He's been incredible all year. And sometimes your goalie can be your best penalty killer. But that he's the guy, I think, when you start to talk about Ohio State, they have a really good freshman class led by him. It all starts with their goaltender. And that's the key for Penn State, getting bodies to the net, getting pucks to the net, and making life difficult for him, because if he sees the puck, he's stopping it.
Will a guy alternate goalies?
The plan is Liam Soulier tonight, and they're going to go from there, see what happens tonight, and I don't think anything's been set for tomorrow.
Okay. Paul DeNaples, can you put into words his career and what he has meant as a rudder to that defense?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and I'm not sure you can put it into words, because he's just so steady, calm, poised, always makes the right play, always in the right spot, and that's just from what you can see from on the ice, and then him doing the right things and doing it the right way and going about his business. He's just such a steady leader back there. He's not a rah-rah guy. He's a captain. You know, captains can lead in different ways, as you know. And he's not the rah-rah guy that you have in the back end. He's just Mr. Consistent, Mr. Reliable. And the numbers end up proving that with his plus-minus in his career, about plus 50 in his career. I think it's plus 49 right now. When you put that up, you know, some people say, well, what's the value of a plus-minus? That's a stat that doesn't really mean a lot. I'm sorry, but when you're plus 50, that means something for him. And the numbers dictate that. He's so good. So good.
Is there a player whose progress during the course of the season, you kind of wondered early in the season, let's see how good this guy is going to be, and he turned out to be really good for them?
Yeah, I think Tyler Gratton taking the next step as a scorer and certainly getting more opportunities, but 9 goals on the season. He was always a guy that was an identity guy, played with a high motor. You knew he had some skills to him. But to see the puck go into the net, he had 4 goals coming into the year in his first 2 seasons and 9 goals this year. He's the guy that I thought, you know what, if he can put it all together, which he has, and not that he wasn't a contributor before, but I think he's made a really nice step to his game this year. And he's the one that I look at and say, wow, you know, what a year Tyler Gratton's had. And he's a key piece to the puzzle moving forward, too.
How do you like the best of 3 format?
I like it. I think that's the way it should be in an opening round. It gives a team that has, number one, I love that they play on campus. I thought the old format, while interesting, and it really opened it up where anyone could win, which was the one game, single elimination, neutral site. The best of 3 is good where you have to earn it. if you're a road team. And no road team has ever won the best of three opening round, and this is the fourth year that they're doing it. No team has ever won it, but I like it. I think it's a good format. The thing, the one I don't really like is that you go to a single game for the semifinal, because if you're the team that has the number one overall seed and the bye, if you play and lose, you could only play once in essentially a month leading into, and that team obviously is going to be an NCAA tournament team. So I would like to see it go to 3-3-1 as opposed to 3-1-1. That's the one change I would make to the format.
Do you think that this kind of format has helped the Big Ten in the NCAA tournament?
Yes.
Because I feel the tournament, when the basketball tournament was instituted in 97, it changed the Big Ten's fortunes in postseason play.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly hasn't been proven yet because of no Big Ten team having won a Frozen Four since the Big Ten began. But you did have in 2018, you had three Big Ten teams in it with Notre Dame, Michigan, and Ohio State.
Exactly.
But I just think Penn State's the perfect example of when they won the Big Ten tournament in 2017, playing three games in 3 days. If you're a team that doesn't have, and at that time it was six teams, if you didn't have one of the two byes, to ask your teams to play three games in 3 days, not to mention two double overtime games, and then turn around the very next weekend and have to play an NCAA tournament, that is too much.
Yeah.
Not rested, and that's why this format is better. And part of the reason they only do a one-game semifinal and a one-game championship is that same reason. You don't want a team to play a three-game semifinal series. The other reason, too, is that can affect, you know, say you have an upset in the first round, all of a sudden you could hurt yourself in the pairwise, too, by playing a three-game semifinal and some team knock one of your premier teams out of an NCAA tournament just because it's everything's numerical. Everything goes by whatever the pairwise says. There's no committee in college hockey. So I know that's part of the decision-making process as to why it's 3-1-1 and not just, you know, what's best for the teams, but the pairwise implications too that it could have.
No, I think in the end, it's the best format they can have right now.
Yeah.
You know, and
I think it's good. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a three-game semifinal, but I agree. I think it's a really good format. I love that it's on home ice. Like, to have an opportunity to win a championship in your own barn, if you're the higher seed. The games that they played, as great as Joe Louis Arena was, or as great as the Excel Center is,
didn't draw.
You're playing in front of 5,000 fans.
Right. It didn't draw.
It didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. It did not work. And I think that going through,
and it takes a lot. And you know what? It takes some honesty from whether it's the conference or the coaches. Hey, this didn't work. We're not going to keep going to it and doing it that way. Like, hey, we made a decision here that was maybe the wrong decision. Let's do it on campus where you're playing in front of 7,000. The best environment in a postseason game that I've been to was when Penn State played at Notre Dame in the Big Ten Hockey Championship. The environment was unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, here's the other part. I think you get through that best of three. This is normally the cream rising to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Of the four teams of the Big Ten semifinals, a minimum of three are going to the NCAAs regardless,
if not
all four. So that's why I don't mind playing one-offs at that point, because everybody, for the most part, is home free.
Yeah, and right now, Michigan, Minnesota, and Notre Dame are locks.
Yeah.
The one, Ohio State, probably a lock, but if Penn State would sweep them, maybe not. That they're the one that's kind of still flirting with that bubble. They're 13 in the pairwise.
Right. Brian, appreciate it. Great call tonight, as always, my friend.
Thank you. Enjoy your trip to Piscataway.
Who wouldn't?
Goodbye.
Brian Tripp, wishing me a great trip. All right. We will come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Here's Jahan Dotson of Penn State.
He reminds me as a player in similar size to Deontay Johnson. I think he's got much better hands. He's got the best hands in this draft class. but it's smooth and explosive. A lot of times you see guys that are smooth, you don't get that burst or explosiveness to go along with it. He gives you both those, and he's going to run under 4.4. I'll be shocked if he doesn't run under 4.4.
Well,
right there,
4.41.
Smooth and easy.
Yeah. You want to know what... I know the difference between great speed, football speed, and poor speed. Dotson has great football speed, put pads on him, they don't catch him. Poor speed, anytime I watch the suit run. I asked the suit one time, why are you running? He said, from reality.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.